Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 11, the Gospel according to John chapter 11 and God's Word tonight. As we continue studying this miracle of the Lord Jesus bringing Lazarus back to life. And this has been a powerful miracle as we've studied through it. We've begun to study through it so far 2 weeks, and now we come to lesson 10 in this series on the miracles of Jesus entitled Lazarus Come Forth, Lazarus Come Forth. I want to remind you that Christ has entered this little village of Bethany, and he's entered the presence of his friends and those that he loves. Martha and Mary have greeted him, and they have both come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and both of them said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And so Christ has entered this scene of grief and death, and he's about to perform a mighty miracle. And we pick up the story here in verse 38 this week, John chapter 11, verse 38. "Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." Now, I want you to mark in your Bible there in verse 43 the statement that Christ made that only Jesus Christ could make. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus stood at the entrance of that grave, of that cave, as the Bible describes it here, in which Lazarus' body was laid, and he spoke, and as he spoke, his voice went beyond every barrier or boundary between the living and the dead, and Lazarus heard his voice, and he obeyed the word of God. He heard the voice of Jesus, and he came forth out of that grave, now brought back to life. What a marvelous miracle. But the thing that we see in this miracle is that God is using it to teach us, I think, many things, but to teach us something about the power of his word and the glory that God receives when we believe him, when we trust him. I want to remind you of something concerning this scene. Look back again at verse 35. Remember last week we talked about this? The Bible says in verse 35, Jesus wept. I want to remind you, this is a scene of filled with heartbroken people and a heartbroken Savior. And he's weeping over the need that these people have. He's weeping with them in their time of suffering. He's right there by their side. In fact, the Bible says back in verse 33, we emphasized this last week, the Bible says he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And then as we come to this scene in verse 38, the Bible says, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. And so here we see our Savior. Outwardly, he's weeping, and inwardly, he's very deeply moved. That word groan means he was extremely moved from within, very deeply moved and groaning in his spirit. And he sees the devastation, really, that sin has brought, because the reason death is in this world is because of sin. The Bible teaches us back at Genesis chapter 2, even in verse 17, as God gave this one law in the Garden of Eden, he said, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And when man ate of the tree and broke God's law, death entered into all of humanity. And when Christ saw this scene of death, and he walks up right to this grave, and he's outwardly weeping, he's groaning, he's troubled in his spirit because of all that they're going through, but also because of all that sin has brought to this world. Here this man has died, and here people are separated from him through physical death, separated from their loved one, and Christ is groaning over that sin. Aren't you thankful for the day that someone taught you and taught, I'm thankful for the day someone taught me that The only way to escape that eternal death, that eternal separation, was by faith in Jesus Christ. Christ knew that he was the answer to everyone's problem. And Christ came on the scene, and he certainly performed a mighty miracle and did something to solve this problem. I want you to notice something with me, first of all. I want you to notice, first of all, the protest of Martha. Look again at verse 39. Christ came up to the grave, and he said, "Take ye away the stone." And immediately, the first thing we find is Christ stands at this grave, at the entrance of this tomb, and he's ready to perform this mighty miracle in the Bible. Immediately, the first thing we read about is a protest. And what we're going to find is this is a protest of unbelief. And before Christ can work this miracle, before he can do something that only he can do, before he can do something very mighty, he has to deal with the unbelief in their hearts. Look what it says in verse 39. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." And so Christ says, "Take away the stone," and immediately there's a protest. And then the Bible says in verse 40, "Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe," maybe let's circle that word "believe" there, "if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God." See, Christ is dealing not just with her protest, but he's dealing with the heart of that protest. He's dealing with her faith. And what we understand when we see this scene unfolding, Martha comes up and says, "Christ, I don't know if you should move away the stone. I don't know if you should do that, because we're all going to smell the death that's in this place. He's been dead 4 days." And you see, she already had drawn a line in her own mind. When Christ arrived, she said, "Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died." And she had drawn a line in her faith, and she believed if Jesus had shown up earlier, well, then he could have taken care of the situation. But that's as far as she believed. Now she says, "Lord, you don't want to do that. He's dead. His body stinks, and this is not what we want to do." Her faith had not extended that far. But Jesus said, "If thou wouldest believe," this is what I told you, Martha, "if you would believe, then you would see the glory of God." You see, I think Christ delayed. We've talked about this earlier, but I think he delayed because he wanted to show forth his glory, don't you? And you know how God is glorified? God is glorified when we put our faith in him. God is glorified when we believe him for all things. Not just for showing up early and taking care of the situation before it gets too bad, but when we believe him for everything and every need and every situation in our lives. You see, Martha had drawn the line, and what God wants us to do is to eliminate all the protest of unbelief in our life and say, "Lord, it doesn't matter how big the circumstance, how big the problem, how far this person's gone. It doesn't matter what I need to faith you for or trust you for. I'm just going to believe you so that you can get the glory in this area of my life." You see, Martha had to come to that place. Jesus had to deal with her unbelief before he could be glorified. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And you know what faith is? You know what it means to trust the Lord? It just means to look away from whatever you've got your eyes on and look to Jesus. Look away from how big the need is and look unto Jesus. Look away from how bad the problem is and look unto Jesus. And when we deal with the unbelief, then God can be glorified. Then he can do great things in our lives. The protest of Martha is seen here. I want you to know, secondly, in this story, the prayer of the Lord Jesus. We can't help but notice this. And I'd say if we find the Lord Jesus praying, we want to take note of how he prayed and what he prayed and learn for our own lives how we should pray and seek the Heavenly Father. Look again at verse 41 and 42, will you? Notice what Jesus prayed here. "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." I think there are many things that we could note about Christ's prayer here, but I think, first of all, we understand that Christ is praying in a way that he wants God the Father to receive glory. He said in verse 40, "If thou hast believed, thou shouldst see the glory of God." And so he's praying in a way that the Father is glorified. And sometimes we have to stop and ask ourselves about our own prayers. Well, if God does answer my prayer, who's going to get the glory here? And half the time, when we stop and ask ourselves that question, honestly, we start realizing, you know, I think I'm the one who wants the glory in this. I want man to get the glory in this situation. But we should pray in such a way, when we're praying in the will of God, when we're praying in the Holy Spirit, I think we should pray in such a way that we're praying for God to get the glory in what's accomplished. And then we notice, secondly here, that Christ is praying in agreement with God the Father. He's praying in the will of God. There's a communion here. There's an agreement here. In fact, it begins by saying, "I thank thee that thou hast heard me." There was a communion that was going on even long before this public prayer. And long before Jesus stood up and prayed publicly and even outwardly so that the people could hear him communing with his Father, long before that, he was in communion and in the will of the Heavenly Father. And so he's praying for the glory of God, and then he's praying in the will of God. And you know, when we spend time in the Word of God and we spend time with the Lord and we determine his will, then we can be confident and come confidently, not confident in ourselves, but confident in God. We can come confidently knowing his will and asking God to perform his will, to accomplish his will in our lives. I think we can learn something through Jesus' prayer, don't you? He prayed for the glory of God. He prayed in the will of God. And of course, we're commanded to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ought always to do that. We see here the prayer of the Lord Jesus. Then I want you to notice in this miracle, the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. Look again at verse 43. The Bible says, "And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" It's interesting to me that Jesus did not mumble or murmur. He did not say this with any shame or with any doubt. The Bible says he just cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." I think he wanted everybody around there to know exactly whose name he called. I think he wanted everybody around to know exactly what he said. This is exactly the Word of God, because he wanted them to stand and witness the power of the Word of God. He wanted them to see with their own eyes that God's Word is true and God's Word will be fulfilled. And when he said, "Lazarus, come forth," the Bible says in verse 44, "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" I think Christ wanted to take that napkin off his face and take those grave clothes off. I think he wanted to see firsthand, perhaps even the people who prepared his body and put him in that cave just 4 days before were the ones who now went up to Lazarus and took the napkin off his face and took the grave clothes off his body. He wanted them to see that the Word of God was powerful and that the Word of God was being fulfilled right before their very eyes. You know, it does something to us when we just take God at his word and trust his promises, and we see God fulfill his word. It'll strengthen your faith, won't it? And it's just as surely as Christ said this and it came to pass, we can stand on the promises and on the authority of the Word of God in our lives. The power of the Word of God. Christ spoke, and this man who had been removed from all the living and was in the presence of God heard the voice of Jesus. He came back into that body in that cave, and he did exactly what the Word of God said. He came forth out of that cave, and he came forth alive. You see, the power of the Word of God, this man had been dead 4 days, and now he had life. And we think about our own lives spiritually, and we think about how long we were dead without the Lord Jesus. How long we were dead in sin. How long we had no life, no spiritual life. But we heard the Word of God. We heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Word of God came into our hearts. And when we heard the Word of God, it brought spiritual life to us. That's the day we got saved, friend. And we're thankful for that. We see the protest of Martha. God has to deal with our unbelief. We see the prayer of the Lord Jesus. And I think we learned something there. And we're reminded in this miracle, of course, of the power of the Word of God. And we want to live our lives based on his Word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the lessons we learn in the Scriptures, and we pray that you take the lessons from this miracle and help us to live in them this week. Bless as we teach them this Sunday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.